BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the midterm election of November 2018 is bringing change to the focus and the priority list of the House of Representatives. There's a number of buzzwords out there like investigations, impeachment, passage of the so-called Equality Act, border wall opposition, and yes, gun control. And the efforts to target the Second Amendment is not only the goal of a new House of Representatives, it's also part of various state governments and state legislative bodies as to what's going on in that regard. Joining us to discuss this plethora of issues today, we welcome Michael Hammond, the Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Mike, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Thank you for having us.
Mike, you've been measuring the pulse of this new incoming House of Representatives as well as leadership, where it's presumed Nancy Pelosi is going to be the speaker. And we understand with this turnover comes renewed calls for gun control. What can we expect after the control changes in the House on this issue of gun control?
Well, Pelosi has said that one of her first objectives after she assumes the gavel, incidentally, 40 representatives got elected on the basis that they would never vote for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. Now that they have been elected, they're completely reversing themselves, and so basically they lied their way into office. But Pelosi has said, and she's paying off Michael Bloomberg, the mayor, former mayor of New York, who spent $110 million in order to get a Democratic House. She said that the largest gun control package, which we've seen in a generation, will be among the first things considered. I think the first thing she's going to do is she's going to disarm all representatives in the Capitol, which is sort of interesting because you remember about a year ago, a left-wing madman attacked a group of congressmen in a baseball practice in a park in Alexandria, Virginia. And the only reason that you didn't have a bunch of dead congressmen is that one of them was Steve Scalise, who had being part of the leadership, had an armed security guard. And the fact that his armed security guard was there was resulted in a whole number of congressmen, Republican congressmen, not being summarily shot to death in Alexandria.
Yeah, so she wants to do away with this rule that allows them even to carry guns onto Capitol grounds and even their own offices.
Yeah, even their own offices. If they can't have them in their own offices or the parking lot, basically they can't have them on the way to the Capitol either. I mean, what are they going to do with them when they arrive in the Capitol grounds? So it's a mechanism for completely disarming congressmen and, in this day and age, turning them into sitting ducks if we have a situation like the one we did at the baseball field. So that's the first thing she's doing. She also says she wants to move quickly on universal background checks, they're called. But what they are is basically outlawing every private sale of a gun in the country. Now, why is that a problem? Well, a problem for a number of reasons. First of all, in some parts of the country, it would mean that it would become virtually impossible to buy or sell a gun. Secondly, if the FBI chose to not give an opinion with respect to all of these gun transactions, to post a yellow, we call them, on its NICS system, then it could block every private sale of a gun in the country. Third of all, if every transaction requires a form, a 4473, then that means that every transaction potentially can be entered into a National Registry of Gun Owners, which increasingly it looks like BATF is trying to put together by taking photographs of these forms. So National Gun Registry, possibility that they would eliminate all gun transactions in the country, at least all private sales, and the fact that in some parts of the country you wouldn't be able to sell a gun at all. That's the top of the Democratic agenda. The good news is we believe that we will be successful in filibustering that legislation in the Senate, and so that's not at the top of our worries in terms of the 116th Congress.
Okay, well, I think it's interesting that this bill that you were just talking about, and I believe there's been some California congressmen like Mike Thompson that's been pushing for this and others, but it's believed this would go so far as to require that that a son would have to get a background check before a father could give him a gun as a gift. Is that right?
Yes, it depends. Various laws in various states have various exceptions for certain relationships, but it certainly is true that a father trying to give a gift to his son-in-law might very well be blocked from making that transaction at all.
Hmm. Now, you, as you're reviewing this information, you mentioned that the Senate, you believe, would stop this from going forth, and whatever is passed through the House has to go through the Senate.
Yes.
But I know the Gun Owners of America has had some concerns about where the Senate is really standing on some of these issues as well, in that they have used some of these Second Amendment aspects as bargaining chips.
Yeah, they did stick a certain limited gun control on last year's omnibus appropriations bill. The good thing about this is that most of the senators went on record with respect to this exact issue back in 2013. So if you have them on record, it's probably easier to assume which way they're going to vote. But let me talk for a minute about what I think the most serious concern is.
Yes.
In Congress. And they're sugar-coated as red flag laws. They were drafted in Michael Bloomberg's back room in the gun control lobby in New York. What they actually are gun confiscation orders. And the way they work is this. If the police or if a disgruntled relative of yours, do you have any relatives who don't like you? I know a lot of people do. Convenes a secret court, and it's called an ex parte proceeding, but what it is a secret court in which you're not invited to attend. Now, in the secret court, they make an allegation that you're dangerous. Not that you've committed a crime, not that you're about to commit a crime, not any other constitutional standard. They just say you're, by the subjective standard, dangerous. Now, if the judge agrees, then he issues an order which strips you of a whole bunch of constitutional rights.
Oh, my.
You lose your Second Amendment right. You lose your Fourth Amendment right against search and seizure of your house. You lose your Fifth Amendment right and Fourteenth Amendment right about due process. You lose all of your rights, and guess what? In Seattle, Washington, which has these things, in 28 of 29 petitions, the court granted the petition to strip the individual of their constitutional rights. When the accuser is the only one in the room, the judge will sign a ham sandwich if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So you are stripped of your constitutional rights in one of these quickie secret courts, and the first thing you learn about it is in the middle of the night when the police SWAT team arrives at your house to ransack it, and if you resist, to arrest or even to shoot you to death. Now, you think that's far-fetched? In Ferndale, Maryland, a 60-year-old man was subject to one of these orders. The police came to his house at 5:17 a.m. in the morning. He, not surprisingly, not knowing who it was, answered the door with a gun in his hand. A scuffle ensued, and the police shot him to death.
Oh, my.
Summarily executed him. No trial, no jury, no nothing. Just a summary execution. So it turns out that in America, shoot up a school, But the only way you're ever going to be executed is by being a gun owner who answers the door in the middle of the night. And so he was summarily executed. I suspect you'll see more and more of these. Congressman Eric Swalwell of California was asked about this and asked specifically about, and he's a liberal Democrat, liberal anti-gun Democrat, asked what would happen if gun owners began to resist. And Swalwell said that won't be a very long resistance because the government has nuclear weapons.
Wow. What? He said nuclear weapons?
What's the implication that he's going to drop nuclear weapons on gun owners because they resist these quickie proceedings, stripping them of all of their constitutional rights without due process? So this is being considered, and guess what? A lot of Republicans are saying, well, this is a reasonable common sense gun control. And so it is very, very seductive. And right now, both at the federal level and in the states, I think this is our most serious challenge.
Now, you're calling those red flag proposals. Is that correct?
That's what they call them.
We
call them gun confiscation orders. They're trying, you know, it's like the left always is, tries to sugarcoat things.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is what conservatives believe. Choice is the choice to kill your baby. They use words in ways intended to sugarcoat insidious notions. In this case, the words they've chosen are red flag laws. But guess what? California has one of those, and it didn't stop the Thousand Oaks shooting.
Yeah.
Connecticut had one at the time of Newtown. It didn't stop that shooting. As a matter of fact, it is devilishly, and I use that adjective, difficult to determine whether or not someone constitutes a danger. In retrospect, after the shooting has happened, everyone goes around saying, yeah, I knew he was going to shoot up the school.
Hmm.
Okay, if you knew he was going to shoot up the school, why didn't you do anything about it? And the answer is that if people you view as dangerous are stripped of their constitutional rights, you're probably talking about tens of millions of people.
Wow. Very interesting. And so the authorization for this would come through legislative means, such as through a state legislature or through the U.S. Congress?
Yes, they're being passed in the states. And we have opposed them vigorously over the last year, except for Florida and Vermont, which had their own particular situations. We have kept these gun confiscation orders from being passed in any state other than the most leftist anti-gun states.
Mm-hmm.
So thus far, we have stopped the flow. And incidentally, they've tried to pass them in places like Texas and Utah and Kansas and Ohio and Pennsylvania and New Hampshire and Maine. And in every case, they present them as, oh, these are reasonable common sense gun control proposals. I think we have now succeeded in getting the entire gun movement, at least, the entire Second Amendment movement, to understand that these are as insidious an idea as any form of gun control currently on the table.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Hammond is our guest today as we're talking about the gun control being really targeted by this new Congress or by the new House of Representatives in proposed legislation. It's been no secret this has been part of the agenda of Nancy Pelosi, but what is that impact upon America? What is the impact upon our U.S. Constitution, the Second Amendment, that gives an individual right to keep and to bear arms? We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, whatever happened to Halley's Comet?
Chris, Halley's Comet is what astronomers refer to as a short-term comet. It makes an orbit around the sun every 76 years. People saw it in the early 1900s and then again in the 80s. Astronomers can keep track of it through telescopes, and they've noticed it has decreased in size. Every trip around the sun causes the comet to disintegrate, with the tail of the comet being stripped away. Halley's comet can't make very many trips around the sun without being totally destroyed. Thus, it couldn't be millions and millions of years old. It's a short-period comet. But there are a lot of short-period comets in the solar system. The solar system can't be billions of years old with all these youthful features in it. Chris, everything fits the recent creation idea that we're taught when we go back to Genesis.
For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, talking about the issue of gun control. It's certainly the target of the new Congress to delve into this issue. It's happening in a number of states right now. Mike Hammond is our guest, Legislative Counsel for Gun Owners of America. Before we continue on, Mike, give us just a word about GOA and what you're doing.
GOA is a membership organization with 1.5 million law-abiding gun owners as members and followers, and we are view ourselves as the only non-compromised Second Amendment organization in Washington. Frequently, when other groups have been willing to compromise for fear of losing a battle, we have stood firm. And for instance, on this gun confiscation orders we were just talking about, there were some gun groups who started out saying, well, we can't stop that, so maybe we need to say it's a good thing. And we, I think, have succeeded in turning around virtually the entire Second Amendment movement on that issue.
We know private sales of guns is a target here by the new Congress as well. Let me ask you this. Would a ban on private sales have stopped any of the mass shootings that have happened in our country this century?
No. Every mass shooting I can think of has involved one of two things. Either a guy who has passed a background check I won't use their names because I think that's part of the problem. We have given these shooters glory and attention, which they were looking for, and that's done nothing but encourage copycats. But, you know, in Parkland, Florida, in Tucson, Arizona, in Aurora, Colorado, in Thousand Oaks, right in San Bernardino, right down the line, these people passed background, in Las Vegas, these people passed background checks in acquiring their guns. And you want to know the only exception to that? Newtown, Connecticut, and the guy killed his mother and stole the guns. Mm-hmm. So in no case would a background check have done any good. The left brags, oh, we have stopped 1.5 million prohibited persons from owning a gun. Well, who are the prohibited persons? Well, anywhere from 400,000 to 4 million veterans have been stripped of their gun rights as a result of a psychiatric diagnosis. In Massachusetts, everyone who had a speeding ticket, which they hadn't paid, had their names sent to NICS and were stripped of their gun rights. And guess what? Those are the sorts of people who go into gun stores and try to buy guns and receive rejection notices. The drug gangs on the south side of Chicago don't get their guns from gun stores. Mm-hmm. They steal their guns or they get their guns on the black market. The people who get these rejection notices pursuant to this national instant background check system are the people who have lived so cleanly that they don't realize they have done something which has stripped them of their constitutional rights.
I've noticed a group called Brady Pack, and they've been putting out fundraising appeals saying, help us pressure Congress to pass gun violence prevention reform. Who is this Brady Pack? What is their agenda?
Well, basically, they spring out of former Reagan press secretary Jim Brady and his wife Sarah Brady, who sort of became the centerpiece of the anti-gun movement for a while. They keep changing names from Brady, the Brady Committee, to Every Town, to Moms, to something else, because it turns out that the American people, by and large, don't think gun control is a good thing. And so the American people all of a sudden become disenamored with their name, which implies that they're going to seize people's guns. So they change it to something else more innocuous. But the Brady Committee definitely is one of the oldest groups seeking to essentially take away your guns. They say, well, our next step is to ban private transactions. But that's only a step. In places like New York and California, where they have no political resistance to doing whatever they want, in the end, they have largely banned and licensed firearms. And ultimately, the objective is no guns in private hands.
Mike, many times we see shootings that make the front page of newspapers, breaking news on broadcast media. What about the many, many cases where guns are used for self-defense? We're not hearing about them as often as it really is happening across the country.
That's not coincidental. When the press reports on something, it's by and large for the purpose of furthering its left-wing agenda. And I can tell you, almost uniformly, the press supports a liberal anti-gun agenda. The Department of Justice, no less, which isn't exactly pro-gun, has found that anywhere from maybe 1.5 to 2.5 million times a year, someone uses a gun in order to protect themselves or his family or to thwart a crime. That's 1.5 to 2 million times a year. That compared to about 10,000 people a year who are killed by gun violence, and virtually all of them are killed in places like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, which have almost complete and total gun control. Mm-hmm. You don't hear anything about the 800 people who die in the Chicago streets each year, even though Chicago has imposed a complete ban on firearms ownership. You don't hear about them because that doesn't forward the anti-gun agenda.
But yet the self-defense incidents are happening, as you say, so regularly. Any come to your mind here of recent?
Well, let me tell you about my brother. Lived in Kansas City. He's now passed on. But he woke up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock to find a drug dealer standing over his bed. He reached for his nightstand where he had a loaded gun, stood the guy down until police arrived, and I'm convinced that had he not had that loaded gun in his nightstand, mm-hmm. he would have died a lot sooner than he in fact did. And so, you know, my brother lived for a decade after that because he had a loaded gun. I'll give you another example of the Capitol. It's guarded about by as many guns as any place around. I had a friend who in 99, I think it was, Tony Rudy, worked for Congressman Tom DeLay. He was his legislative director and basically ran the House of Representatives for the whip. Of course, the building was guarded by metal detectors, armed guards, and whatever. But that didn't stop a gunman who broke through the door, shot the guard at the metal detector, ran into the back door of DeLay's office on the first floor of the Capitol, and began walking down the hall, ready to shoot anyone he encountered. If he had gone to the left, he would have stood face-to-face with my friend, and he would be dead. If he went to the right, as he did, he would have faced Officer Morris Chestnut of the Capitol Police, and in fact, he was shot to death instead. Mm. But as my friend stood in the office of the most heavily guarded building in the world, wondering whether he would live or die, the thing which kept going through his mind over and over again was, I wish I had a gun.
Wow. Well, I notice some stories that have come out here recently, too. This one in bearingarms.com has put out some of them here. This is just a weekend before last. Detroit police see a man who invaded a home on the city's west side had been fatally shot by one of the residents. They say a 75-year-old, a 55-year-old, and a 29-year-old daughter were leaving for church about 10:30 Sunday when a man confronted them in the home's driveway, forced them back inside. They were accosted by an unknown male, someone they had never seen before. The male grabbed onto the woman by her coat. The woman got loose, went into the house, was able to secure the gun and fire in self-defense. This home invader shot and killed. And then also from December 6th, here also the story coming out, a woman kills an escaped prisoner who kicked her door in and seeking to invade her home as well. And these cases are happening in many places across the country.
The same thing happened in the last 24, 48 hours here in the Washington area. A woman basically saved her own life by using a firearm in order to shoot an intruder. It happens 1.5 million times a year.
Wow.
But you never hear it, of course,
yeah,
because it doesn't further the media's anti-gun agenda.
Mike, let's take a look at a few of the states. Some things are happening.
Okay.
You mentioned New York earlier, and we understand New York lawmakers have introduced legislation that would require police to scrutinize social media activity and online searches of those applicants for seeking a handgun license. They're talking about people being required to turn over the last 3 years of their social media post, as well as their internet history search for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's funny in an ironic way. I mean, New York has basically banned guns, certainly in New York City, and licensed what few guns there are, and virtually no one can get one unless you're very, very famous. And yet, a Brooklyn congressman has now introduced legislation in the state legislature which would say, in order to give one of those precious, almost never given out gun licenses, you have to give the police the right to look at your social media posts for the last 3 to 5 years. It's sort of interesting in a state which, as I remember, has just banned employers from asking whether a job applicant basically bankrupted their previous employer by stealing all of his inventory. So if you want to know whether a guy you're hiring is going to shoot up your workplace, you're legally prohibited from doing that. It's a crime. And yet the police can demand that you turn over your Facebook page to them for the purpose of seeing whether you said something which is, quote, hateful, close quote. And for these purposes, hateful means something concerning. I can tell you, the liberals in this country are, in some cases, particularly the liberal denominations, are in some cases among the most hateful people around, and yet they have, in an George Orwellian sense, defined hate to mean what other people believe.
Right, right. And let's look at a neighbor of New York, New Jersey. They're wanting to restrict magazine capacity, and we understand that the Third Circuit Court of Appeals just upheld the magazine ban last week.
Yeah, exactly. The Third Circuit is one of those circuits which is still in Democrat control after Barack Obama got through packing it with liberal judges. And what that tells you is that since the Heller decision was handed down, saying there was an individual right to keep and bear arms a decade ago, since that was handed down, basically it's been a right which courts have recognized in theory but almost always ignored in practice. New York, which is in the Second Circuit, and New Jersey, which is in the Third, have passed one nasty law after another, basically banning anyone from having a gun, and certainly banning people from carrying a gun in order to protect themselves unless they pass the police muster, and yet the courts have found this to be satisfactory. Now, now that Brett Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court, I hope we're going to have some of these cases successfully appealed and successfully overturned, but that's yet to be seen.
And folks, as Court of Appeals vote 2-1 last week, the two that voted were appointed by former President Obama. The one that was opposed to this was appointed by Trump. And so they upheld the magazine ban last week. We'll be right back.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny. Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for that not only changes his life, but that of others as well. Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Michael Hammett, our guest today from Gun Owners of America. He is their legislative counsel for Gun Owners of America. Mike, you've got a website there. We're keeping people informed.
Yeah, gunowners.org.
Gunowners.org, and you'll stay abreast of many, many stories there at gunowners.org. We were talking about a couple states on the east side of the nation, and I know there's even more, let's go to the other side of the country, and that's Washington State. We understand that just last week that the group called Alliance for Gun Responsibility announced that they will be pursuing many restrictions in Washington State in 2019, including a ban on standard capacity magazines, expanding gun-free zones, even requiring the Washington State Patrol to destroy firearms that they confiscate rather than selling them to generate revenue like they've done in the past. A lot going on in Washington State.
Washington's an interesting case, and it tells you something about the slippery slope argument. Maybe a half decade ago, they were considering this universal background check, the type that Nancy Pelosi now wants to push, and I think will successfully filibuster in the Senate. And they were saying, well, this is the gun control to end all gun control. Once we get this, Washingtonians will be safe. And so they succeed in passing it. I think about 59% or something like that. As soon as they passed that, guess what? They came back with new proposals. This past year, they've had ballot initiatives dealing with waiting periods and all but prohibiting you from keeping a gun in your home for self-defense. If you want to do like my brother did and save your life by keeping a loaded gun in your nightstand, guess what? You're probably going to become a felon as a result of that in Washington State.
Wow.
And so they've now essentially outlawed protecting yourself with your gun, which you would think would be in violation of the Supreme Court's decision in the Heller case.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's not enough for them, and they want to basically ban magazines as a way of essentially banning the firearms which use them. So Washington State shows in a half a decade the way that if you give the left what it's now claiming it wants now in the U.S. House, then they'll be back next year for something else, and the year after that for something else, and the year after that for something else. And guess what? None of it is going to make you safer. It's just going to serve as a platform for the next demand.
And what's interesting in all of this, too, is that the bad guys, for some reason, don't seem to abide by that law, do they?
Amazingly, the bad guys don't seem to feel that they're bound by the law. I've had only one instance in my life, and I was in the military during the Vietnam era, but there's only been one instance in my life in which someone has held a gun to my head and begun to pull the trigger. And that was in Washington, D.C., and at the time, guns were completely and totally banned in Washington, D.C. But guess what? Killing me was also against the law, and they had no compunction about that. So, a fortiori, they had no problem with carrying an illegal gun.
Yeah. Some will point to other countries and say, "See, look at Britain or the UK. There is, you know, they have put in stiff gun control laws. They don't have mass shootings like the U.S." How do you respond to that?
Yeah, Britain currently is having a outbreak of fatal knifings in London. But guess what? Parts of the U.S., like my home state of New Hampshire, the parts of the U.S. where you can get a gun virtually anytime you want have murder rates, homicide rates, lower than that in Britain, in France, in Germany, in all these European countries. The murders that make the U.S. compare unfavorably with Britain are committed in places which are complete and total gun-free zones. And so, if you want to say Britain is safer than Chicago, it certainly is, although your chances of getting a knife in the intestines are probably pretty great if you're walking in the wrong neighborhood in London. But it is safer than Chicago, but guess what? Chicago has a gun ban even more stringent than that which exists in most European countries.
Yeah, interesting, and I saw through the Sun that just by September, 92 deaths by shooting in London alone. So they're not immune from gun violence.
No, they're not immune from gun violence. They're not immune from knife violence. And, you know, look at Paris. Look at the terrorist shootings. France bans guns about as vigorously as any country on earth. And yet the terrorists were able to get not just semi-automatics, they were able to get machine guns. And as they went down the row of restaurants, shooting person after person until ultimately, I guess, hundreds were dead. If any of those people had been armed, that attack, that mass murder would have come to an end. And so, Basically, it's the same sense as American school, in which we've deliberately disarmed anyone who could protect the school children because we think they'll keep them safe. But guess what? When we instituted the school ban, the ban on guns in schools, in 1996, almost immediately after that, Columbine happens, and since Columbine, there have been nothing but a succession of copycat killings, one after another in American schools. And we know this about the copycat killings. First of all, people are obsessed with the attention the media gave to the previous shooter. They're just obsessed, and they want to get that 15 minutes of fame for themselves. The second thing we know is they understand that if they go into a school and start shooting children, they don't have to fear that anyone is going to shoot back.
Gun-free zones.
Gun-free zones.
Well, friends, our phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak with our guest today, Michael Hammond from Gun Owners of America, our number is 800-733-9829. If you have a question or comment you'd like to pose on the program today, 1-800-733-9829. During a break, I was talking to you about this, but Dick's Sporting Goods, they've modified their gun sales policy. We understand their sales have really been hurt.
They've dropped by 4.5%, I think, the last quarter. They decided that they were going to be politically correct and weren't going to sell semi-autos to people between the ages of 18 and 20, and they also basically instituted a series of other goals and objectives, I think, to phase out some of their firearm sales. It hasn't helped them at all. As I said, the last quarter, their sales dropped 4.5%, and I think they've found the same thing as other large companies engaging in gun sales, including Smith & Wesson maybe a couple decades ago, when it decided it was going to be politically correct, and Bushmaster, when they decided to close their main plant, that gun owners don't want or expect political correctness from the people they deal with on Second Amendment issues. And those that have tried to please the left with their gun sales policies have almost always found it hurt their bottom line.
I find it interesting, too, the Washington Free Beacon reporting that Dix has decided to hire their own gun control lobbyists to push for even stricter gun laws, and now it's being reported they may have to close down their entire field and stream chain of some 35 stores across 18 states. Let's go to Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for your show. I just have a couple comments. I think there's a method to their madness. These gun-free zones, especially in schools, when there is a shooting, that they seem to allow, because there are no firearms there, no security guards, anything like that. My goodness, I got walked out of a school because I had a 1-inch Swiss Army fingernail file on me. It had a blade. But think of the impact that kids being killed by firearms, how it affects the whole country, these innocents, how it affects the parents, and the propaganda that they can gain from that. Now, years ago, listening to your show, there was a detective who retired in California, I believe, and he broke into a few semis when Clinton did his NAFTA, and he said he found in there drugs, guns, and ammunition from China that's flooding the streets of this country because they want it to happen so they can say, see, guns bad.
Thank you, Charlie, for the comment. Any response to that, Mike?
Well, I can tell you there are very few advantages to being very, very old, but one of them is I've been to this rodeo before. And when I was in high school in the 60s, I was in ROTC, and I carried around up and down the sidewalk, across the playground, up and down the halls of my school, an M1 semi-automatic rifle, which was issued to me and which I had responsibility for cleaning and maintaining. Didn't have a firing pin, but you couldn't tell that for looking at it. And lo and behold, these kids, both in uniform and civilian clothes, both in formation and out of formation, are walking around this campus with their semi-automatic firearms, and it didn't occur to anyone that anyone was going to shoot up the place. That was the climate in the 60s. The year after I graduated, they passed the Gun Control and Safe Streets Act of 1968, the national gun control regime. What happened then? Well, we had an outbreak of a massive a number of increased homicides on the nation's streets, and the reason was because the drug epidemic was breaking out at that point. So I guess we've had gun control now at the national level and a serious level for 50 years. I guess my question is this country any safer now? I mean, the kids claim that they can't go to their school in California, which has complete and total gun control, without fearing that they're going to be harmed. So whose fault is that?
Charlie, thanks for the call. We're going to move on because we've got a number of people lined up here. Bill is calling next, Sarasota, Florida. Bill, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi, Bill.
How are you? I'd like to, I am a certified instructor for civilian firearms. I teach a number of different courses. I'm also a lifetime member of GLA and support the Second Amendment Foundation. And when I put classes on, the first expression that I generally try to get across to them is that it's a little comfort to me to know that the police are minutes away when life and death could be seconds away. Now, that shooting that happened in West Virginia, where Chow, I think his name was, or Chin, or whatever, the Chinese young man, I remember the video when the police responded. They stood with bulletproof vests, rifles, and handguns behind the trees until the shooting stopped, and then they went in and counted bodies. Now, there were 31 people killed in that incident. Now, I mean, I thought their job was to serve and protect. Well, if they don't want to serve and protect, I must serve and protect. I'd rather be carried by six than tried by 12.
Thank you, Bill, for the call. I'll tell you what, we're just at a break right now, so we're going to take the break, and we'll come back here just with a brief comment here from Mike. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Back in just 1 minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, an internationally known pastor based in America was teaching on Joseph and his storing away grain in the years of plenty for the years of famine. And in doing so, he declared that what Joseph was doing was an example of the welfare state system. Nothing could be further from the truth. And the fact that this pastor wants to declare such is really shocking. And more proof of the Marxianity that I warn about in my brand new book at Marxianity.com. If the pastor were studying the scripture in context and even listening to his own words, he would know that he's contradicting the scripture and his own words. Because later, as he reads from the scripture, he declares that Joseph sold the food to the Egyptians. Well, how then is that a welfare state system? Be very leery of the pastors promoting Marxianity.
Well, gun control is being targeted by the new Congress coming in, and it's also being targeted by many state legislatures as well. Mike Hammond with us from Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. Just before we pick up the next call, Mike, that last caller basically talked about law enforcement being minutes away, but death could be just seconds away.
I couldn't say it any better than that. Since our lines are jammed, let me shut up, and I have the callers talk.
Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Your guest was exactly right when he spoke to the incremental nature of the enemy's agenda. He said something, he was talking about one little aspect of it. He said, but that's only a step.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1980s, I remember the gun lobby telling everybody, look, we don't want all your guns. We just want those, quote, Saturday night specials, those cheap, inaccurate pistols, you know. Well, what they admit to now has changed a lot since then. They want total confiscation, and they're pretty much admitting it. And if they ever achieve total confiscation, that also will only be a step, and it won't be the final one. Then they'll be free to inflict whatever tyranny they want on us, without it, without accountability, and without the threat of resistance. That's what they're after.
Thank you, Brad. Any comment on that, Mike?
Thank you, Brad. You're exactly right. I couldn't say it better.
Lynn in Alabama, you're on the air.
Thank you. One question I have is there a phone number for y'all besides gunowners.org? Do y'all have a phone number?
Yes, area code 703-321-8585.
Again, that's 703-321-8585.
Okay. And I've not heard of y'all before, and it certainly sounds like a really good organization. And I've a gun owner and have been for a long time. I'm 63 years old. Mm. And I've had a concealed weapons permit and carry mine with me as often as I can. You know, there's places where you can't carry it, which just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And just want to thank you all for doing the good work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And I'd like to join up with the Gun Owners of America.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Again, that's 703-321-8585. Got to run here, Lynn. Let's go to Steve next in Salina, Kansas. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Hello, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, Jim and Mike. Hey, these politicians and leftist groups, I like how they parse words. Just with the 30-round magazine, that's standard capacity for the rifles that use it. That's not high capacity. Mm-hmm. And also on that semi-automatic Air 15, they call it an assault rifle. That's it. From what I know, to be an assault rifle, it has to have a selector switch that goes from 3-round burst to full auto. And just to close it up, they don't want to control guns as much as they want to control the American public. Mm-hmm. That's our government.
Thank you, Steve, for your thoughts.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Steve. I had an assault rifle. It was an M16, but it could fire full automatic. And this is just an Orwellian use of language to mean something other than what it means.
We have Mo calling in from Florida. Hi, Mo, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. As I've listened, it started with President Obama. He was pushing the guns, and the more they pushed, people went out and bought more guns. And we kept seeing that pattern, and this is being in the news. And what the Lord laid on my heart is he is preparing every single person to all those people that went out and got them, because when the church is raptured, they are going to need their gun. And look at God's mercy and grace that he is pouring out to all these people that have no clue that he, because we know, look at all, when you have disasters, all the looting that goes on. So when this church, when the body of Christ is raptured, you're going to need it. You're going to need one. Hmm. And I think everybody went around, and more guns were purchased through all of his evil and him trying to stop and bring it down. Where did people go? They went and got more.
That's a very interesting thought. Thank you, Mo, for sharing that here today.
Thanks, Mo.
Let's go to Jerry in Janesville, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jerry.
Yeah, say, if what he's all saying is the Democrats are trying to, Nancy Pelosi is trying to achieve here now that they got control of the House, then we know, I mean, we know without a doubt, and I hope the Republicans are fighting this tooth and nail, that there is no way that Nancy Pelosi or any of the people in the House of Representatives are going to have anyone that has a gun to protect them. I mean, we know that, right? Correct?
And Pelosi will have an armed guard.
No.
She's not crazy. She'll have an armed guard. It's just everyone else will be shooting ducks.
Yeah, but well, that needs to stop. The Republicans got to fight that tooth and nail. Say if nobody else can has a gun, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Mm-hmm. You don't have one neither. Let's be fair. Let's be honest. Let's be fair. And it looks like the state of Washington, that's going to be the safest state. Everybody needs to move to the state of Washington because there's going to be no crime done there because they're going to ban all the guns.
Yeah, wrong.
What a joke.
Thank you, Jerry, for the call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from South Dakota. Laura is calling from Watertown, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Laura. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to remind everybody that in 2004, the FBI did a raid on that house in Virginia and found the master plan for North America of the Muslim Brotherhood, and part of that plan was for them to perform their jihad on the schools and while inside, as they have control of the schools, they were going to be setting up a perimeter outside and then massacre the parents as they arrive.
Tell you what, Laura, I'm out of time. You want to comment on that at all, Mike?
No, except to thank all the listeners for calling in and letting us know their very, very interesting and articulate views.
Yeah, and I'm sure that last call we have to get things further checked out in that regard.
Yeah.
Yes, the Muslim Brotherhood certainly a great concern across this nation. They at one time did have open access to the White House, which is a concern as well. Mike Hammond with us from Gun Owners of America. Again, the website is gunowners.org. And Mike, thanks for being with us and keeping us and the nation informed on critical issues.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, again, to contact them, you may do so either online or through calling at 703-321-8585. Certainly, the Second Amendment is being targeted by the new incoming House of Representatives. That's not just conjecture. That's what was promised by the new forthcoming legislators. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.